know the snow's coming down. You know, I woke up early this morning because I thought that it was supposed to start snowing around 5, 4 or 5, 6, somewhere in there. I look out the window, still no snow. I said, well, it's good. So I started to get dressed again, and here comes the snowflakes. Wow. You know, I used to be all joking. You know, I really do wonder if y'all are telling me the truth about mild winters the last 2 or 3 years. Maybe I need to see. Last time I came up here, what, a week ago? Yeah. Was it last week? My wife was with me. Yeah. And there was no snow. I'm starting to put some things together here now. I got to bring her again next week. We won't have no snow, hopefully. No, so it's a blessing to be here this morning. I'm glad that God got us here all safely. I was thinking this morning, you know, you think about canceling church. And down in South Carolina, the only thing we got to worry about in South Carolina is hurricanes. So you know if they're coming 2 weeks out, and you got some time to plan a little bit anyway. Snow, you don't have no time to plan. But I got thinking this morning about Charles Spurgeon and how, I don't know if you remember the story on him, the day that he got saved, it was a bad snowstorm. And so he came to church. Anyway, I think it was him or somebody that was in a congregation, one or two. Anyways, they had church when it was snowing out. And I think it was him. He ended up getting saved that day because I think a layman or somebody just stepped up, did a little lesson, ended up convicting him and dealing about his soul, and he ends up getting saved. So that was running through my mind this morning, is you just don't know who might be around this area. The Lord might just be dealing with their heart this morning, and they're going to walk in to church. You just have no clue. So that's kind of why I said this morning, I said, well, Lord, whoever can make it out, they can make it out. If you can't, and here we are this morning. Thank God for it. As far as announcements go, we're going to have a fellowship this morning. This is the church's 45th anniversary. So it's a blessing that we can be here this morning to celebrate the anniversary of this church, 45 years that it has been open. The doors have been open, and that is a blessing. And glory to God for that. This evening, I'm still not sure about services tonight. We'll play that by ear by the end of tonight or this afternoon to see what we're going to do about tonight. If we do have it tonight, Lord willing, we're going to try to have the Lord's Supper this evening, if at all possible. If not, we'll postpone it till next week. Lord willing, I'll be back up here next week. I'll be here through the whole week. So I'll be here Wednesday. I'll be here next Sunday. And then the following Sunday, I'll be here also. So that is the schedule I can think off the top of my head to see this morning. Let's go over our memory verse this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, we still on that. Ecclesiastes 1 and verse number 9. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1 and verse number 9. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1 and verse number 9. You say it with me, Ecclesiastes 1, 9. The things that have been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Amen. Amen. I don't know if any birthdays this week. You know of any birthdays this week? No birthdays this week, so we'll not do that. And we will sing one more song, and then we'll dismiss the kids for Sunday school. If you can, stand. We'll try to sing page number 155. If you're able to stand, page number 155 at Calvary.
Mercy, there was great and grace.
Y'all may be seated. We dismiss for Sunday school, kids. I forgot to bring this up earlier, but you know, today's the church's anniversary, and kind of was a message to look at this morning for the Sunday morning service, kind of dealing with the anniversary. But it's also a sad day today, also for Brother Clark, who passed away on Thursday he passed away. So just keep his son in prayer, Brother Clark, the older gentleman. I didn't know him very well, but they found him Thursday afternoon by his van. So just keep his son in prayer. I'm going to try to reach out to his son and talk to him tomorrow, Lord willing. Just keep the family in prayer. In one way, it's a sad day, but another way, it's like Brother Jason said something earlier, he's home with the Lord, which is a blessing. And according to Brother Jason, he's been looking forward to that day, and God granted him that on Thursday. So just keep that family in prayer. Also, good news, Kelly's back home. So blessings there that God's helped her out, and she's back home, so continue to keep her in prayer. If you take your Bibles this morning, we're going to continue with our study in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1. We're going to try to be looking at verses, finish up the last part of verse number 3, and then look at verses 4 and 5. Genesis chapter 1. You know, I got thinking when Brother Brian was praying, and I know it's snowing outside, and I know the roads can be a little rough and all that, but you just think about this morning, and the thought just come across my mind, is this afternoon, millions and millions of people, if not more than millions, are going to be watching a bunch of men running up and down a green pasture with a leather ball in their hands, right? Yeah, making millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars, more than millions and millions of dollars, for 60 minutes, and a bunch of dumb commercials, foolish commercials will come on, and millions and millions and millions of people will pay, or companies will pay millions of dollars for 30 seconds of advertising, all right? And so let's just say this morning, for a hypothetical situation where the Super Bowl was being held in Allentown, Pennsylvania tonight. Or this morning, let's say it was this morning at 12 o'clock, and there was no COVID or nothing like that, and people could attend. How many people do you think would be at that game this afternoon?
Too many.
The place would be filled. I would be suspect there'd only be 15 people in the stands. And I'm not saying this to say that nobody can make it this morning. I understand the weather, but I'm saying when you put the emphasis on, and it's something that's important to you, you'll try to get to it. Now, look, I'm not saying it's because people might not be here. I understand the driving. I'm just saying from the world's perspective, the world look at it, well, I can't go to church this morning because the snow. But if it was a football game, the place would be packed. People would be doing all they could to try to figure out a way to get to church or to the game. Okay, so again, I'm not saying that to put people down that are not here. I'm not saying it at all. Just a thought ran across my mind, because this evening there's this huge game and people are going to do everything they can to watch it, because that's what they put the emphasis on. That's what's important to them. And I'm glad this morning that God allowed us to be here this morning. Glad that we're here. We're able to open up God's word and look at it. In Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was out form and void, and darkness was upon the
face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day. And the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So on this very first day, when God sets up creation, brings everything to an existence, the first thing that God says in verse 3 is he says, let there be light, and there was light. Now, I'm going to go back a little bit to what we saw in verse number 2. I want to finish up this thought here about, well, verse 3, I'm sorry, stay in verse 3, where it says, and God said. And I was looking at some of the things that God's word does for us. And the last thing I want to look at before we look at this thing with God bringing forth light is that the words of God, we talked last week about how important they are. And I also want to clarify this too. When I make a statement that the originals don't exist, I don't mean that they never existed. Okay, I want to make that point clear to where people weren't confused. I think what a preacher believes that there was never no originals. No, I believe that there were originals. I believe Moses wrote things that God wanted him to write on some type of thing that he put it down on, whatever it might have been. I believe Jeremiah and all the prophets, they wrote things down, right? Paul wrote things down. I believe there was a literal letter that went to Galatia, or a literal letter that went to those in Corinth, okay? So I believe there was an original document that these men wrote down. But I believe those original documents that they penned with their own hands no longer exists. Does that make sense when I say that? So when I say the originals don't exist no more, I mean those documents, they're worn out, they're destroyed. And what we have now are copies upon copies upon copy, 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 copy. Hezekiah copied the book of Solomon. So, and the kings were commanded to make copies of the word of God. So what we have today are copies. So when someone says the original, I have a problem when they say when the original said. They never seen the original. Yeah. So that's where my problem comes in when somebody makes that statement of, well, you can't say, well, the original said, because you've never seen the original. Does that make sense this morning? I didn't want to bring any confusion across the mind, but I want to get across this point when preachers or teachers or Bible colleges, and they say, well, the originals. No, you can't make that statement, well, the originals. They don't exist. They're no longer here. We cannot pick up the literal letter that Paul wrote to Galatia, and somebody can't say we have the original letter to Galatia. It's nowhere to be found. Now, you take this example. We have the original Constitution of the United States, and it's in Washington, D.C., I believe, right? So you can go to Washington, D.C., and you can see the original document that our founding fathers wrote with their own hands and signed with their own hands. That is an original document. So you can say the original that exists. But when it comes to the scriptures, we cannot say the originals said. Because it comes back to this. It comes back to faith. If the originals existed, men would worship them. They would put more emphasis on the literal physical piece of paper than they would the words written on the paper. Does that make sense? You see what they did with the brazen serpent. What did they do with the brazen serpent? They began to worship it. Do you see? So God sets this thing up. And I love, I love my Savior, and I'm so thankful how God set this thing up. God set this thing up to where if you want to be deceived, you can be deceived. Even in his word, God set it up that way. Because it's by faith. I was listening as I was driving up here this week, a good brother in the Lord down in Florida. He put together some stuff about contradictions in the Bible, and I was listening through it. And God sets this thing up to where if you want to believe that this isn't the word of God, he makes it to where you can believe it's not the word of God. Right? God sets this thing up to bring out, where's your heart? Are you going to trust the word of God when you read it that you don't understand it to keep trusting in God? Or are you going to begin to doubt and say, well, no, this ain't the word of God because I can't understand it. Well, maybe God doesn't want you to understand it right now. And we're going to look at it this morning, but God allows, time allows, of you take there in Proverbs chapter 8 and in the beginning of Proverbs chapter 1 where it talks about wisdom as being a she. Well, that's something to your brain just, my brain is like, why, Lord, I can't figure this out. I was praying last night, God, what is, how, why? Why do you say she? And we're going to look at that this morning. But there's plenty of things in this Bible. Actually, brother, the more I study it, the more I read it, the more I try to get in it, the more I realize I know nothing about it. The more you dive into the scriptures, the more you realize this is God's book. Look, you want to know one, another way I know this is God's book? Because if man wrote it, he would write it to where there was no contradictions. He would make sure, if he was going to purport that this is God's words, then he would be so thorough in it to make sure that nowhere would it contradict itself. So that we can say it's a perfect book. There's no contradictions in it. If I'm going to write it, I'm going to put forth that it's perfect, that there's no errors, then I'm going to go through and make sure there's no errors in it before I give it to you, to where you say, well, the numbers in 1 Kings doesn't match up with the numbers in 1 Samuel. I would make those numbers match to where you wouldn't question it. But see, God's not worried about it. God doesn't have to justify himself to us. Do you understand? He is God. He is creator. He's made all things. He doesn't have to stoop down to man and say, well, please, please believe my word. Please believe it. No, he says, here it is. You're going to believe it or not? Jesus looked at his disciples. Will you also go away? He didn't say, please, no, please stay here. No, Jesus looked at him and said, will you also go away? And Peter said, Lord, to whom, where are we going to go, Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where else is there to go but to you, Lord Jesus Christ? So I wanted to clarify that little point that I made last week about the originals, okay? And so another thing that God's word does for us, I'm going to look at this real quick, is look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 3. Kind of along the lines of what I was talking about, that God's word must be received by faith, okay? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 3. And the reason I'm going over this, the words of God, is because in Genesis 1, 3, it says, and God said. Well, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 3. Look what it says here, Hebrews 11, verse number 3. Talking about faith. And verse 2 says, and the elders obtained a good report through faith. Look what it says in verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. Creation must be taken by faith. Okay? It must be taken by faith. It says, through faith we understand what? What do we understand through faith? That the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. So when we say to people that God created all things, they have to take it by faith. Now, there's some good scientists, there's some good men out there in some good Bible colleges. When I was going through school, I had to take a class on creation, and there was a saved man teaching it, and he had his doctorate degree. I don't know if it was in biology, something. And as he's teaching this class, the stuff he's talking about, now he was dealing with creation, was way above my head. But basically, he's saying there's evidence out there, scientific evidence for creation. But then you're going to have other scientists and other schools that are liberal going to say, well, no, there's evidence for evolution, right? So I got thinking about it. When he was teaching his class, he's like giving us all this information to say, well, we can use this as a sword to fight those who may believe in evolution. No, I can't take that armor on, like David said. Brother, if some man walked in through these doors this morning and had multiple doctorate degrees in biology and all those geology and all that, I could not deal with him on a scientific level. Okay, I don't even remember what I was taught in that class to even maybe try to bring up some points to him. But what I can say is God said, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Okay, God's word says that he created it, and I believe it, and I trust it, and I place my faith and hope in it. You say, well, brother, that's not going to work because he has all this scientific. It don't matter. That's the sword. And I use the scriptures against him. Thus saith the Lord. Well, what if we don't believe? There's nothing I can do about it. He has to take it by faith. And he has to, look, God set up to where you got to humble yourself down. And the problem today is most people don't want to humble themselves down. See, that you want to be lifted up with pride that I know something you don't know and I have the education that you don't have. Well, God says, no, you need to humble yourself down and realize what you are, that you know nothing. And so don't ever be intimidated. If you come across somebody, I truly believe this too, that if you're living for God and you're walking with God, God's not going to get you into something that's over your head. He's not going to get you in a situation to where you don't have no idea what to do. If you stay humble. Now, if you get lifted up with a little bit of pride, God might just put you in a situation where you realize, oh, Lord, I need you. It's all about God, His Word. And that's why it's so important to memorize it and hide it in your heart. So where God puts you in a situation, you say, well, the Bible says. There's a story my preacher talks about a man one time, two men that were riding on a train, and they were business partners or something. And somehow on the train ride, they got talking about creation. I don't know if it was creation or something. And the one brother was saved. The other man was not saved, didn't believe in God, didn't want nothing to do with God. And so they got into this little bit of debate, and the brother that was saved kept saying, well, the Bible says. Yes, but the Bible says. And this man says, listen, I don't believe the Bible. Understand, I don't believe the Bible, so you can't use the Bible for what I'm believing, because I don't believe the Bible. He said, but yeah, the Bible says. He's like, you don't understand it. Sir, you don't understand. I don't believe the Bible. Yes, but the Bible says. He said, well, you're hopeless. Forget this. And they stopped talking. And they went their separate ways. And they knew each other. They went their separate ways. And I don't know if it was a year or two later that they met back up again. And that one guy that was not saved said, he's like, I'm so thankful. I think one of the first things he said to him, he said, I'm so thankful that you didn't put down the sword when we had that discussion. He said, I'm so thankful that you kept saying, but the Bible says. Because guess what? He went back home and he started looking at the Bible. And he ended up getting saved. So don't put the sword down. Okay? We can go out here and try to get all the intellectual knowledge we can to try to debate with anybody we need to debate with, and yet leave the Bible off to the side. It's the Bible that's going to bring conviction. And it's through the words of God, as it says here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Through faith, we understand what? That the worlds were framed by the word of God. It's got to be taken by faith. It has to be received by faith. Why? Because we were not there when God created everything. I say, well, God made the trees, God made the animals, God made the earth, God made the sun, God made the moons. Well, it says what? Were you there when God made it? No. Well, because the Bible says so. Because God's word said, I'm taking by faith that God created these things. And it must be received by faith. Okay? Take your Bible and look over at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 11. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 11. Romans chapter 10, verse number 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Same over all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel, peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Look at this. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes about by spending time in God's word and hearing God's word preached. Now, back to Genesis chapter 1. Okay? So the next thing it says there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, it says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Okay? Genesis chapter 1, verse number 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, I think I said this earlier. I personally don't believe, that this light here, that when God says, let there be light, I do not believe it's the sun. Okay, I don't believe that it's the sun and that the sun is kind of hidden until the fourth day when God brings it forth there in verse number 14. Okay, I don't believe it's the sun. I don't believe it's the moon and the stars. I believe it's something different. So, Pastor, what is it? I don't know. I'm going to look at a few things, but I say this as I don't believe it's the sun and the moon, but it's light. Okay. I don't completely understand it. I think there's a lot there. And it's impossible this morning to go through exhaustively study out all the instances of light in the Bible. and trying to piece it all together, that would take way too much time. So maybe it's something you can look further into, but I'm going to give you a few things to think about this statement here where God says, and let there be light, and there was light. And God saw light that it was good. And there was a division made there in the very first day between day and night, light and darkness. Okay? Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 13 says this. It says, then I saw the wisdom, I saw that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness. Now, this is how I approach the Bible. If I have something solid to stand upon, and we're going to look at it as John 1:1. Okay, everybody in here, I think, knows John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses put an A in there. Was a God. Okay? So, our King James Bible says that it was God. So, the Word in the very beginning is Jesus Christ, capital W-O-R-D, that is Jesus Christ, and we know that He is God manifested in the flesh. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, right? God was manifested in the flesh. Those are just two scriptures you can go to say Jesus Christ was God, okay? And there's many more we can look at, and we're not going to look at it this morning, that we can stand firmly upon that we know that Jesus Christ was God. He was not created, okay? There's some things going around through the internet, I don't know if it's in Baptist churches or not, that Jesus Christ, they're starting to say that Jesus Christ was created. Almost along the lines of Jehovah's Witness. No, Jesus Christ was not created. He's always been. Okay? He is God. Okay? So I want to establish that first. You say, well, Pastor, how can you? Well, there's solid ground in Scripture that we can stand upon that we know it says that He's God. Nothing to argue about it, right? Now, Jehovah's Witness, you'll bring them to John 1:1, they'll say, well, it should say a God. Well, what about all the other scriptures in John where Jesus says He's one with the Father? Okay? Jesus is God. At least just be honest. Okay? If you're going to carry around a King James Bible and you're Jehovah's Witness, at least be honest and say, yeah, the King James Bible says He's God. Just be honest. Right? Just be honest. Stop trying to cover things up. This book here, this King James Bible, for a fact, shows that Jesus Christ was God. Okay? So we have that ground to stand upon. Now, we're going to go forward with that fact that Jesus Christ is God. He is not a created being. Okay? He's God. So this thing with wisdom now. Look at Proverbs chapter number 1, verse number 20. Well, before you go there, look at Psalm 136, verse 5. Psalm 136, verse number 5. Psalm 136, and look at verse number 5, okay? Well, look at verse 1, I'm sorry, look at verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. Now look at verse 5. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. And it goes on through there. So the Bible says here in Psalm 136, verse 5, to Him that by wisdom made the heavens. And there's other scriptures that we're going to look at that talk about wisdom. Okay? So look over at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 20. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 20. It says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scornings, and fools hate knowledge. Okay? So wisdom here is referred to in a feminine sense. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. She uttereth her voice in the streets. Look over at chapter 3. and verse number 15. Again, referring to wisdom. Now, this is Solomon writing this. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Look what it says. She, talking about wisdom and understanding. She is more precious than rubies, and all things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Now look at verse 19. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. Okay, verse 21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes, keep sound wisdom and discretion. Now look over at chapter 4, verse number 7. Look what Solomon continues to say here. He says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Verse number 9, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. All right, look over at verse 13. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Verse 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Let me see here. Verses 13 through 27 continue to talk about wisdom. Let's look over at verse number chapter 7. Now look what it says about wisdom and understanding here, how you're to consider them, okay, here in Proverbs. Let's look at verse 1, Proverbs 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Now, I'm not going to look all through, but chapter 7, chapter 8, and chapter 9 deal with two women. One woman is considered wisdom, and the other one is considered a strange woman. Now, I believe the she that is referred to here in Proverbs, some of the verses that we looked at, is a figure of speech, right? I think it's a figure of speech. Some people will say, referring to their car, they'll refer to their car as, yeah, she made it through the snow. Well, your car is not a gender. It's not a male nor female, but people use that figure of speech of, she did well. Yeah, old Betsy, she's doing good, right? You look at the Statue of Liberty. What is it? It's a woman holding things in her hand. You look at the Statue for Justice. It's a woman that's blindfolded, and she has a scale in her hand and something else in her hand. So I believe it's a figure of speech. I believe we're supposed to look at wisdom as you would look at your sister or a kinswoman, somebody that would be close to you, dear to you, that you would have a close relationship with. Okay? Now the Bible says in Corinthians that Jesus Christ is made unto us wisdom. Now this is where obviously Jesus Christ is not female. He's a male. That's a fact. That's something we could stand upon in the Word of God. But here in Proverbs we have another, another wisdom, so to speak, for lack of better words, that God has put forth. And Solomon refers to her as a woman, she. Now what does Solomon have problems with? Women. Right? He had a lot of problems with a lot of women. I have a lot of respect for those men in the Old Testament, but I don't know how they dealt with two wives. And there's nothing against my wife. It isn't. But I can't imagine having four wives. He had like 700 and then 300 concubines. No wonder the kingdom went into a mess. All right? And one of the commands that God gave his kings was not to multiply wives. Why? Because you're going to get yourself into a mess. Because they're going to draw you away from the things of God. Okay? There's a lot of... Look, God has established a man and a woman. A husband and a wife. One wife. Why? Because there's a lot of work that needs to go into it. If you have 2, 3, 4 wives, there's no way you can be doing what you need to be doing as a husband. Godly thing. It'd be impossible. There's no way. And you saw it bear out in David's life. He didn't handle the situation right with Absalom. Well, because he had like 5 wives, 6 wives. And if you're having kids by those wives, there's no way you can train those kids up right as a daddy. I only had 1 wife and 4 kids, and it took all I got to try to do the right things by them. With just 1 wife and 4 kids, much less 6 wives and 40 kids. There's no way, there's no possible way you can do all of them right. No way, if you're just one man. And so something's going to be let go and off to the side. So I'll say this, I believe Solomon's putting forth here in a figure of speech of looking at wisdom like she's your sister, like she's your kinswoman, someone you're going to have close by, that you're going to protect, that you're going to watch over, that you're going to keep close to you, just like you would your real sister or your real kinswoman, someone that you care about. That's a woman you're going to protect, you're going to watch over. You're just going to let it slip away. Does that make sense this morning? So wisdom here in Proverbs chapter 8, look what wisdom says. Now, I'm bringing this all back around to what Genesis 1 verse 3 said, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, I'm not saying that wisdom was that light. All I'm saying is that wisdom was there in the very beginning when God created everything, according to Proverbs chapter 8. Look what Proverbs 8 says. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and evil way and a forward mouth do I help, hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Look at verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways. What did he possess? He possessed wisdom. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting. From the beginning or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. What was brought forth? Wisdom was brought forth there in the very beginning. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. Who's that he? Jesus Christ, God. Now look. Now, I don't, brethren, completely understand all this. So if you're going to ask me as a pastor to complete, I don't know. I don't understand it. But I know here that wisdom is brought forth. Yet the Bible says here something we can stand on for firm. We know that God's not feminine. We know God's not a she. Now you say, brother, why are you bringing that up? Because one time I was in Bilo down in South Carolina, and I had to spend a night up in Columbia when I worked down there at the juvenile center. And I was going in one night before I went to the hotel, and I was picking up some groceries or something. And this young man just approached me. I didn't have nothing on that identified me as a Christian. I was just in the store. And he comes to me and says, let me ask you a question. I said, sure. Like, I'm looking at fruit or something. He said, let me ask you a question. He's like, do you know God has a female part? Serious? I was like, huh? So I'm trying to buy some food here. And you're asking. He said, do you know God has a female part? That God, part of God is female. I said, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah. He's like, God, there's a male part of God and there's a female part of God. Part of God's a female. And I said, and I think he was United Methodist or something like that, Episcopal, something like that. I said, sir, you're wrong. But look, if you don't rightly divide the word of truth and you don't stand upon, you know, if you don't stand upon what you know the Bible says, I know Jesus Christ is a man. I know God the Father. It's not God the Mother. It's God the Father. Father is masculine. God is masculine. Okay? Jesus Christ is a man. Okay? Look what it says here. And this is another thing we can stand on. Verse 22, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways before his works of old. His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, wherever the earth was. Verse 23. Verse 24, when there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there was no fountain abounding with water. Verse 25, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. Verse number 27, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandments. When he appointed the foundations of the earth. Then look what it says. Then I was by him. As one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the Son of Man. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, be wise, and refuse it not. Now, I can't explain all that. But I do know here that God, his, God formed everything by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ spoke everything into existence, and by wisdom he brought things forth. But Proverbs 8 talks about a she. But I think we're supposed to look at it as it says in Proverbs 7 verse 4, that say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. You know what I think all this points to, and I'm sorry I've taken so long on this, but sometimes people look at it and say, why does it say she here? God's not a she. Well, no, God isn't a she. And I think it's proven on through the rest of Proverbs chapter 8 that his. Okay? But God refers to wisdom as she, as somebody that was by him, that was close by him. It says there in verse number 30. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight. What did God delight in? God delighted in wisdom. Okay? You say, well, preacher, what do you mean by all this? I believe God's trying to put across this point that we ought to delight in, that we ought to love, that we ought to hold close to our breast. Listen, the words of God. Not this book, this physical book, but the words that are in this book. That we'd put it into our hearts and hold it so close, so be so bound to us that it keeps us on the right path as wisdom puts forth. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, with all you're getting, get wisdom. Because it's going to keep you on the right path, especially if you're saved. Look at, and I'm not going to read it, but the last chapter he talks about she and wisdom is chapter 9. And you see a contrast between two women. Wisdom hath built it. Look what it says in chapter 9, verse 1. Wisdom hath built it her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. Now, if you know what those seven pillars are, please let me know, because I've been trying to figure that out for a couple years now. Now, there's a lot of speculation on it. But there's seven pillars that wisdom hewn out. She hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the high... There it is. She crying upon the high places again, just like in Proverbs chapter 1. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner giveth himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man giveth himself a blot. Look at verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Again, in verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. But look at verse 13 now. A foolish woman is clamorous. So you got wisdom crying out in verse 4, whoso is simple, let him turn it hither. And in verse 13, Solomon brings in this other woman, a foolish woman. And this foolish woman, the first thing he says about her is that she's clamorous. What does clamorous mean? It means speaking and repeating loud words, noisy. So here you have this foolish woman, and she's loud and noisy. Well, what's she loud and noisy about? Verse 13, she is simple and knoweth nothing. Look where she's sitting. Verse 14, for she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their way. Look what she says in verse 16. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, the exact verse as verse 4. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, look what she says in verse 17. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. He knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. I believe Solomon's putting forth this picture in our mind of two women crying out to us. One woman is wisdom, the other woman is a foolish woman. She's a strange woman. And both are crying out. I believe the heavens declare the glory of God. And we're going to look at it, not this morning. We're going to have to cut it short here this morning. But I believe as a lost man or a lost woman walking through this world, I believe the creation of God declares God. The Bible says in Psalm 19 that they speak. There's words that go out from the sun and the moon and the stars that are in heaven. I believe creation speaks to us because it's the manifestation of the wisdom of God. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? All I know is this. I believe there's two women putting forth their voice to lost men and lost women, saying, which path are you going to choose? Right? Figuratively. I don't believe there's a literal woman, two women, and one's wisdom standing somewhere, and the other one's wisdom, a strange woman standing somewhere in there. I think it's a figure of speech. Solomon's saying here in the first part of Proverbs, listen, young man, son, listen, there's going to be temptations thrown your way. There's going to be wisdom also thrown your way, and you're going to have to choose which way you're going to go. Who are you going to follow? Keep sound wisdom. Keep prudence. Keep discretion. Keep understanding. Keep it close through. Bind it around your heart. Bind it around your neck. Keep your eyes always upon. And when he says this to the strange one, he says, avoid it. Pass not by it. Don't even go near her ways. Because stolen waters are sweet. Sin is sweet to the taste, but death to the body. Do you understand? I think that's the picture that Solomon's putting forth. Yes, sin is pleasurable before season. Right? And so he's putting a warning here out to young men, and he's doing it in a form of a woman, because most young men, that's where the problems come in, is with women. That's where the struggle's at, and that's where they fall. All through the Bible, you're going to see a picture of who causes men the most problems. A woman. Because a woman has power. She has a lot of power. And she can sway a man with her beauty, with her talk, with the way she carries herself. That's why it's so important that as women, you carry yourselves godly and holy before God, because you can have a lot of effect upon a man. A lot of effect upon a man. And I think Solomon knew that. And Solomon's trying to warn his son, like, son, listen, take fast hold of wisdom. Don't let her go. She'll keep you. She'll give you durable riches and honor. This other woman that you want, that your flesh is going to want to go after. Verse number 18. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. She's going to drag you down so quick, before you know, you're going to wonder if you can even get back to where you used to be. I said it last week, and I'll say it again. The two strongest urges in man is food and to reproduce. And I guarantee you tonight on those commercials, there's going to be some ungodly commercials on there, and they're going to play to man's appetites. Not so much to the woman, to the man. Because how do you get the man? You get the woman first. If you can get the woman, you can probably get the man. You understand this morning? Who did the devil come to there? Who did the serpent come to there in the garden? To the woman. Who messed up? Who caused Abraham to start doubting? Now, Abraham and Adam are there to, it stops with them. They need to step up and be a man. But who did the enemy kind of use to get in there to try to mess him up? Sarah. Here, take Hagar, my mistress, take her. David, Bathsheba, Solomon, all the women he had. Look who tried to get a hold of Joseph. Joseph was a perfect picture of Christ. What did he do? He ran as fast as he could to get away from her. Right? So, Genesis 1, chapter 3, or Genesis 1, verse number 3 says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." Wisdom had a part there in creation. Now, is wisdom that light? I don't know. I know wisdom was there, though. Wisdom was brought forth. Wisdom helped establish the things of creation. And wisdom rejoiced with men in the habitable parts of the earth. Wisdom was brought forth. Is wisdom that light? I don't know. And next week, Lord willing, if we're allowed to be here, I'm going to look at a few other things in the Bible that are referred to light. Could it be that that is what God brought forth there in the beginning? A quick taste. It says where is it at? Yeah, 2 Corinthians 4, it says the light of the gospel of Christ. Was that what was brought forth there in the very beginning? Because Revelation talks about a lamb slain as from the foundation of the world. I don't know. I'm not saying it dogmatically. I have no clue. I'm just going to put a few things out there just to think on, just to mull on, just to look at, that the Bible refers in the New Testament as light. Okay, and we're not talking about the sun. We're not talking about the moon. We're not talking about the stars. And we're not talking about physical light that we can make inside this building. There was some kind of light that God established there, the very first thing that he established. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning, Lord. I pray that something made sense this morning, Lord. Lord, one thing I realize, Father, is the more I try to get in your word, the more I realize the depths of your word is unsearchable. Father, you're just amazing. Lord, your word is amazing. Dear God, help us always to take it by faith. Help us, Lord, also, Lord, to be man and woman enough to say when we don't understand something, we can't figure it out, or we can't put it into the perfect box that we want it to be in. Lord, all I know is what your word says. Father, help us to take it by faith. Help us to draw close to you and love you more. We ask this all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brother.